Welcome to the Game Changer Unlocked, where we break down the people and platforms driving elite performances today. I'm your host, Brian Fetzer. Today's guest has built his career inside high-performance environments, including time working in Major League Baseball, where relationships, pressure, and results all collide. Nate Thompson has taken that experience and turned it into platforms that bring together some of the top minds in sport, business, and leadership. As the founder of the Peak Conference, and now the lab in Los Angeles, Nate is creating spaces where connection drives opportunity and performance. Nate, I am so excited to have you join us today.
It's a pleasure to join.
Well, let's take it back to the beginning. You know, yeah. Some early experiences that kind of shaped your career path. How did that begin?
The one that kind of kicked it off is starting off in engineering and then quickly finding out after my first year that wasn't the path. And then being able to get into the athletic department at the University of Cincinnati and working in the athletic department there, that was, which I'll kind of get into later, is the catalyst for me working in the sports industry and being able to be around a collegiate athletics department, whether it's Olympic sports or the big basketball, football events or teams that were part of the university at that time, especially. And then just be able to see a pathway of like, this is where I want to be and this is what I want to do. And then figuring out like, how do I carve out my own space within the sports industry for myself?
I mean, you've had a diverse journey. You know, you start off with the college environment, then you transition into Major League Baseball. Was there a pivotal moment that kind of changed your trajectory?
So that continued on that education front. So moved down to Miami for grad school at St. Thomas University for their sports administration program. One of the companies that I interned for was, or is a company called Complete Ticket Solutions. So essentially a box office, outsourced box office operation. So Orange Bowl Committee, University of Miami Football, Miami Wine and Food Festival. And then one of our primary clients was the Baltimore Orioles Spring Training Facility in Fort Lauderdale. That was my entry into Major League Baseball, helping manage their spring training facility for 2 years. Moving to Baltimore and then to Cleveland and then to Houston with the Astros. That was that roadmap.
How does that, you know, the experience working in the MLB kind of shape your view on performance and relationships? I know I had to in some way, in form and fashion.
A whole lot. I think in a couple of fronts. One, it was, I think with that collegiate experience or that CTS experience, it was very, and my first introduction to how relationships help drive kind of progress and transition. Being able to work with the Orioles Spring Training Facility in Fort Lauderdale, developing relationship and rapport with their executive team that's in Baltimore for the Orioles, that would help me kind of find that opportunity to move from Miami to Baltimore. And then on another front, on the business operation side, one of the projects that I had an opportunity to work on was with the ballpark application. So getting everybody from your paper tickets and PDF sheets of paper to everybody using their smartphone for entry into the ballpark. Cleveland was one of the first teams, along with Atlanta, the Dodgers, and a fourth, I think maybe in Seattle, to push that initiative. And then at that time that I had just joined the Guardians in 2011, we were making that move from Ticketmaster to tickets.com and then integrating that ballpark app development and kind of educating our fan base on, we're going to get away from those collectible tickets that you're used to having to everybody using their smartphone to get into the ballpark. And how do we educate? Well, one, how do we convince people that this is the right move and then this is something beneficial, but also leverage that for improved business operations in terms of helping reduce fraud, eliminating box office issues with transfers of tickets, and then also knowing who's coming into the ballpark. So as you transfer those tickets or as you download the app on your phone, now we're able to see if you came in for just a White Sox game or a Dodgers game, or so we can retarget, or if you transfer the ticket now there, that receiver has to create another account. So now we have multiple user accounts in that system just to be able to see kind of all the business benefits that came with implementing a solution like that.
And I'll tell you what, I personally, I'm one of those guys, I used to love the tickets. I think they're neat, but on the flip side of it, I've also lost a ticket to a competition, and you're like, you're just kind of SOL. You're like, hey, well, I didn't have it. I mean, it's so much more convenient now, like you said, to transfer tickets and so forth, and you know, kind of find you know, an easy way to go. We all have phones now, so just putting it on your phone. It definitely makes the process a lot easier. I know my wife doesn't yell at me anymore about, you know, missing a ticket or something like that to an event.
Yeah, so, that makes it a whole lot easier.
So with the whole process, you know, you got to come, you come across key mentors and influencers kind of along the way. Yeah. Is there any individuals in particular that kind of stood out and kind of helped you kind of guide along your experience?
Yeah, there's two top of mind. So there's Bruce Winbush and then Dale Robinson. So Bruce, at the time, he was working with the Cleveland Cavaliers and their marketing communications team. But he had also went to the University of Cincinnati. He was probably a year or two, I think 2 years, my senior. Bless you. He had already gone down that path of going from college to working in professional sports, had the network and relationships. So that was somebody that I continuously reached out to of, if there's an opportunity, can I share this? Can I share my resume with you? And or do you know somebody that's at this organization or university that can kind of help with getting a foot in the door? Because he had that network. And then Dell was working with a MAC conference in Cleveland also. So he was also a mentor for Bruce. So being able to have somebody else that was also more senior that had gone through and been in the industry for a number of years that had those relationships. And just kind of seeing how he carried himself in that space was helpful to see. I was like, all right, cool. This is where I need to be and how I need to position myself in order to kind of look the part and play the part.
Did you still stay in touch with those guys now and with your new path?
No, I still stay very much in touch. Also, I'm an Ohio guy, so I get back to Columbus and Cleveland pretty often. So I'm able to, anytime I do go there, I try to reach out, whether it's try to meet up for like a lunch or dinner or just like, let's find 15, 20 minutes for a phone call and have a chance to catch up.
Well, I can imagine your success has kind of led you becoming the mentor of some people as well. Do you find that kind of more and more people along your path have started to see, hey, insight? Because we know, I say we know, the sporting world is very tight-knit and it's very small. And it's really, you know, who you know to kind of get places. If you become that person to a lot of people?
Yeah, I had a call with a student from the University of Texas yesterday. He had reached out on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago. He's working on a thesis around NIL and collegiate sports and kind of what the future of that looks like. But yeah, he was just like looking for, like, as he's navigating where he goes next from college, like, what does that path look like? Does he go collegiate? Does he go agency? Does he look at the pro side? Does he coordinate and curate something on his own? I've become that person for a handful of people, but it's also interesting being in that position now. I still don't envision myself as that person, even though like I'm actively doing. I also used to teach a sports marketing class at a university in Houston. So like there are students that would always kind of want to hear the experience and the expertise and find opportunities to find a part-time job or an internship. So even though I was actively in that role, I still don't actively see myself in that mentor role, but it is something that's very, very present.
I can completely see that happening more and more. When you speak about relationships, and as we were speaking about relationships, what did you learn kind of early on about building relationships kind of in the really high performance environment that sports is?
One, to not be transactional, I guess one. Like not just kind of I need this or asking for this and providing value. So there's some mutually beneficial relationship or exchange within that. And then two, just how to build a relationship. I think that initially me being a very like reserved, quiet person didn't know how to build those relationships and kind of put myself out in the forefront a little bit more and initiate, I guess is where I'm kind of headed there. I would wait and kind of hope the person engaged me more. And I had to become that person that would be a little more forward and kind of initiate those conversations or engagement and ask for what I was looking for. Of I'm looking at these different opportunities or I'm looking just for insight and kind of how you navigated this and being willing to ask that question and be basically let them know that I didn't know and then kind of be or either I didn't know or I was unsure. And like I'm asking for advice or be willing to put myself out there in that category.
It definitely, it takes some learning to do that because I don't think everybody's wired just to go about it that way for sure. Yeah. What are some of the challenges or failures that you faced during your career that's kind of helped, you know, kind of defined your approach today?
There was a big one. So leaving St. Thomas University in Miami and then finding that next opportunity, there was almost a year and a half in between that time frame. So from the time I graduated in December 2008 to the time I got that first full-time job in Cleveland with the Guardians, I was working part-time at a gym, part-time gig with the Orioles. I was applying for 50, 60 jobs or internships or anything that was out there anywhere. It was like, let me find something somewhere. Because that was the thing I was kind of locked in on. I was like, I want to continue this career and progress in the industry. But I was getting a bunch of notes, whether it was submitting an application and then immediately getting like a rejection letter or getting to be the final candidate for a position and then choosing someone else. Just navigating that period of time where there was a series of no's, but also it was looking at it as not completely a failure. It was a chance to refine and get better at the approach. So did I need to add different things to the resume? Did I need to show up better in the interview process? Did I need to prepare more? Do I need to ask better questions? Looking at it of like, yeah, this didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but also what can I take from this that helps me prepare and be more prepared or in a better position for that next conversation. And then essentially what I looked at it as like, how do I eliminate all the no's? So out of all the job responsibilities and kind of obligations on a job description, can I check all the boxes? And they can't say no to any of these. I've done this, I can do this, I have that qualification. There's nothing you can say no to other than you may have a preference for somebody else or more experience may be the thing. But outside of that, there's nothing else that you can say no to because I've checked all those boxes on your list.
Man, that might be some of the best practical advice that anybody could take as they're kind of coming up in any career path. Nate, appreciate it. Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna dive into the Peak Conference and find out a little bit more about that and how it's really changing sports in so many levels right after this. Yeah. We're back with Nate Thompson diving into some very impactful events in the performance and leadership space. You're going to be taking place. You have Peak Conference, and then the one you designed and kind of founded Connect that'll happen in July. How have those conferences, and those are just two, how are those conferences really shaped kind of the landscape of sports and technologies?
Yeah, I think it's the relationship piece that we just touched on, but also like, how do you bring that community of people together? So whether they're executives, the investors, the founders, the creatives, how do you create a space where they can like physically be in the same room, where you have properties that are spread out across the country, if not globally, be able to congregate and kind of have people in that same mindset and or same focus come together. So Peak is one that's new, that's focused on that sports tech industry. So that it's bringing those investors and kind of connecting them with founders. I think that's, before I go into more of that one, I think that's the thing of like, how do you connect people that are in a similar space but may not have those direct line to one another, and then be able to be the curator or organizer of that has value. So Peak, one of the things that stands out there is one, it's in Las Vegas. It's the first year for the conference, but it is very sports tech focused. You have other conferences like Sloan Analytics or SBJ with World Congress Sports that was just here in LA recently, and other conferences that are more like sales and sponsorship focused, but there wasn't one that was around that sports and technology community. So having being able to create an event that brings those people together in a gathering is really cool for one, but also helpful for those people that are in the business. And then for the one you mentioned, Connect, so developed that, my business partner, Chris Garcia, helped start that when he was with the Houston Astros. He was a creative director there, but same thing. So for the creatives, there wasn't a space where they could gather because there wasn't anything specifically for the graphic designers or photographers or videographers outside of maybe like an Adobe Max or other conferences like that, or now Camp and Create, so being able to have a space where if you're in that motion graphics or graphic design or creative direction space, now you can kind of talk to people at other universities or the agencies or the brands that are building in that space that are looking to activate, and then basically being able to get best practices and learn from each other, and also just have fun and connect with each other, which is the big thing around like what I enjoy the most about Connect, is that we move it around from city to city. So this is year 11. So last year we headed in Miami, and we take it to Major League Stadium each year. So last year was at Lone Depot Park, the year before at Ford Field, the year prior at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. But it's being able to get out into the city. So the opening night in Nashville was at the Nashville Sounds minor league ballpark. So Dylan BP, Detroit, we had a creative athlete experience. That was a 3-on-3 tournament. And then we did a logo versus logo contest at Ford Field. And then in Miami, we had an opening night mixer on South Beach. And then did that creative athlete experience again at Unrival, the Women's 3-on-3 league facility. And we were able to use that space for the 3-on-3 tournament and the logo versus logo contest. And I'll dive into the logo versus logo. So essentially it's me and you head to head. We pull a theme out of a hat. We get 10 minutes to see who can create the best logo. And then everybody in the audience judges kind of who won that round. And then tournament style, it gets down to the finals. And then each of those logos are going up on the screen. So I'm on my laptop and going through the design. You're on yours going through the design. We broadcast that on a TV or screen so everybody can see it. And then everybody votes on who has the best one.
So the original concept of Connect, you know, did it match or exceed where it's at right now? I mean, when you guys first kind of thought about that, is it exceeding? Because I mean, it's been going on for a while now.
Yeah. No, I think in recent conversations with Chris, I think it's exceeded kind of where. Well, not even exceeded, I guess. I think there was an expectation that it would be here, but you have to go through that process and build it. I think the first two or three conferences were just at Minute Maid Park, at the ballpark, and then like a handful of people, whether it's 30 people or 50 people, and then you start to build that audience, but you have to start somewhere and then grow up from there. So I think the expectation was that it could be here, but you have the idea, you have the vision, and then you start to build it, and then you start to execute and see, all right, here's where it can grow beyond where it was last year or the year before.
When you bring together leaders from a lot of different industries, you know, what kind of conversations kind of stand out from a standpoint of you're bringing people in from all different aspects? I mean, is there something that kind of like, hey, like this stands out more than others?
Yeah, it's the why they're in their space that they're in. So whether it's like an example would be like Sean Holcomb with USTA. He's in that social impact space. So like how he got there and why he got there. So him growing up and playing tennis, I think it was in Maryland, but not having the resources that he would have liked to have had to continue playing either semi-professionally or professionally. And then being able to become a coach for a local, I think his high school team, and then being able to work with USTA and then now work with brands to be able to create programs and workshops or boot camps or partner with other nonprofit organizations to create that in other cities. So whether it's a Miami or Los Angeles or Orlando where they're based, now he's able to create some impact and be able to provide that for students or kids or even adults that want to get into the sport that just didn't have access to it or exposure to it. So it's oftentimes hearing the why behind it. And I think that's the thing that stands out for me of because the conversations and topics and themes of the conference shift where it's not just the technical pieces or the strategy or operations. It includes those things, but it's also, this is how I got into it, why I got into it, and then what I want to see it move and progress and transition into. And then what's the thing that was the catalyst or the spark for that person to be in that role that they're in.
Do you see some key themes or trends that kind of been coming out through not only your conference, but the other conferences in the space around the country?
The key theme there would be kind of to kind of continue that last thought. It's they're in that role and then they're in that space because there was a gap and something that wasn't available that they thought they could fill and create. So then that's been a theme that's there. And then outside of that, within the conferences, I think there's an awareness that gets created of, even if I'm not in this creative space or this sponsorship space or the investment space, I see how this adds value to the industry. And then by being in this room and having these conversations with other people, I get enlightened and some insights into why they're in it, but also how I can take my expertise, my experience, my relationships, and then add to that. So then it's complementary. And then that's something that often comes up, especially in these conferences where you have people that are focused on different things, but find a way to weave it all together.
Have you been surprised or what has surprised you the most, I should say, about how, you know, attendees kind of engage with each other at these, you know, conferences? Because you're going to have a full gamut of, you know, people that are working in certain industries, not working in industries, trying to get into industries.
Yeah.
How has that engagement kind of happened?
Yeah. I think the thing that's surprising, but not really surprising in a sense, is just the willingness of people to help. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is hopefully it's because of who we are and the people we bring into the space. There's also an openness and a willingness of the attendees or the people that are there to be helpful to somebody else that is looking for that next thing or their first opportunity or helping connect the dots between one thing and another. I think that's been the thing that's always been cool to see of like, yeah, I'm working on this and then somebody else offers up, oh, I also have this connection or I know this resource that's available that can help you do that a little more efficiently or better or expand what you were even thinking around and offering that up. I think that's been the thing that stood out a lot to me.
I'm going to ask you this question. I think I can kind of can gather. How did you come up with the name for your conference?
Yeah, so to connect is essentially that. It's like, yeah, how to connect the dots, connect the people, connect the ideas, and then just bring it all together. It's that's as plainly as I can get it.
I'm not smart sometimes, but I could kind of connect the dots on that one. Yep. So somebody, because I mean, it's not until July. How can somebody twofold? One, find out more information about it if they wanted it to go attend or be involved. How can they do that? And then also, how can they find out more about you?
Yeah. So for the conference, the website is the best place, mlcconnect.com, and then social media, Instagram specifically, mlcconnect. And then for me, it's LinkedIn. I usually do a newsletter, everything that I'm sharing around like projects I'm working on or things that are in progress, it's through LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is a great way to connect in business without question. Hey, we're going to be back with our next segment and we're going to dive into the lab, which is a concept in Los Angeles that's really gaining some traction. And Nate's going to talk to us a little bit about that and kind of the steps moving forward. We'll be right back right after this commercial break on the Game Changer Unlocked. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Nate Thompson about building platforms that bring together high performers. And now his latest venture, the lab in Los Angeles, California. Nate, let's talk about the lab. What is it and what problem are you trying to solve with the lab?
Yeah, so the lab is a co-working events and performance space in Gardena, so South Bay, LA. Focus on executives, investors, founders, creatives, and creating a home for them, a physical space where they can work out of the space. We can host events, whether it's a mixer, a dinner, educational programming, workshops. And upstairs, we have a gym space. So court for basketball, volleyball, pickleball, activity room for yoga and dance type of activities, and then two small recovery rooms. So whether you want to do like stretch or massage sessions or throw on Normatec boots, being able to do that all in one space. So you don't have to go to another co-working space and then find a gym. Be able to have that all in one house. And then the main thing with the membership being focused on that community of executives, investors, and founders and creatives, again, being in a space where there's like-minded people that are working on complementary or similar product services or campaigns, and be able to have that physically in one space where in LA specifically, it's the attraction here for me, taking on this project was with NBA All-Star being held here back in February, World Cup coming here in June, the Super Bowl being hosted at SoFi Stadium in LA in 2027, and then the Olympics being here in 2028, and having this roadmap of major events that are coming into the city and being able to create something where it's make it a destination, where whether you're based here in LA or you're coming here for a quick trip or you want to relocate and kind of find an opportunity, now you can get connected with that community here.
It's in Los Angeles now, but is there ever a thought process maybe having in some other cities the same concept?
Yeah, no. I've been tinkering with the idea of what other markets and cities, whether it's something for me in the Midwest, primarily Cleveland or down in Miami or internationally. So how do we refine this model and kind of create something that's kind of fine-tuned and then use this as a proof of concept and see what it can evolve to outside of this space?
So how has the lab different from a traditional kind of networking space or performance center per se?
Yeah. I think it's the three categories that we're focused on. So the co-working, the events, and the gym, the performance gym space, being able to have that in one facility. But also I think the main driver, main differentiator is the community of people that are in the sports and entertainment industry, being able to come to a space and then kind of know, I'm going to be able to connect and meet and or bump into somebody that's working on something that's similar and or complementary to what I'm doing. And then just kind of knowing, hopefully, again, like having that relationship or rapport that when we bring people into the space or bring events to the space or host events, that there is going to be something of value that's going to be here and that I'm going to take my time to come to the space, spend some time here, but I'm going to meet somebody that's going to be outside of my sphere, but then also somebody that's going to be a great person to meet for one, but also doing something creative and innovative in the space.
So who is that ideal person that walks into the lab and says, hey, sign me up?
Yeah, no. So for me, I think it starts with the founders. So like one, being able to have a space where you're building your product or service in the sports space, you're looking for an office space, you're also typically looking for a space to create some content and develop case studies for your project. So one of the examples is there's a company out of Houston called Grind. They have a portable shooting machine. We have one of their devices here, but essentially they work out of the downstairs space. They have their equipment upstairs. We have teams that practice like girls basketball, boys basketball, that are learning proper shooting form, mechanics, but also can get introduced to what STEM or STEAM looks like in the sports industry. And then be able to hear the story of a founder that's gone through playing basketball, suffering from injuries, and then wanting to get back into the sport, not having full access to a doctor's shot machine that costs X number of thousands of dollars. You're not able to take it from your local park to your backyard to the gym. And then be able to hear that story, but also be able to see and use that product or application in person. And then next is going to be the executives and investors. I guess I kind of put those two side by side. So the executives, the one that also are looking for these emerging technologies that they can bring in to leverage and utilize within their organization. So whether they're at a team, at a league, at a governing body, or they're an investor looking for that new emerging tech startup to invest in through their angel, whether they're an angel, a family office, or a VC fund, they're looking for that next best thing. And then being able to house this group of founders that can connect with and kind of be, essentially make ourselves a matchmaker between those three parties.
So when you look at the lab, how much of the lab is about performance versus connection versus opportunity?
Initial thought is kind of equal. Performance stands out in terms of even how I've been thinking through it in my head, like whether you're building your business or building your body, it's all performance. So I think I kind of label that as a kind of foundational block. And then the other categories, I think those are all just complementary. And I think represented within each of those core audience members that we want to have in the space, whether they're the executive, the investor, the founder, or the creative, they're looking to create something and build something that's different. They have a vision for it, and they're just looking for resources, whether it's people, having that communication and building that relationship, or they're looking for capital or entry into the marketplace. So they may be looking for, they may have the capital, they just don't have the connectivity to a local team or a local university or a program that can utilize their product or service, and they're just looking for that connection.
So what lessons from the Connect Conference to your other business ventures do you bring into the lab?
Yeah, I think being that connector, I think we keep using that word of connect, but it is being that bridge and connector between seeing what things are, seeing where things can be, and kind of seeing where there's opportunity, and kind of being the person and or group in the middle that says, like, all right, you should talk with them, and or we should build this thing out because I see it being bigger than what it is, and we can find a way to expand on that.
Where do you see, you kind of touched on it, maybe expanding it, but where do you see the lab going in the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. So even in our kind of initial conversations for the lab, we positioned it in like a 3-year roadmap. So putting it in terms of the lab, it's year one, 2026 is the learn year, 2027 is the aspire, and then 2028 is the build year. So learn is basically, we're creating something that doesn't exist in a lot of spaces. How do we learn from the people that we want to have here? Once we get that audience and community here, we'll need to tweak it and refine it. That aspire years, now that we've kind of developed the model, we have our audience, we have events and activations and programming going on. How do we make it bigger and more expansive? And then that 2028 year and build, how do we kind of build this outside of LA, and can this be replicated in other markets that have the sports, they have the healthcare, they have the academic ecosystems, and bring all those things together and like figuring out what characteristics and criteria have to be in place in order for that to be successful elsewhere.
You mentioned earlier some of the events that are coming to Los Angeles. I feel like I live in the South Florida area, and it seems like there's a major event happening all the time in Miami. But there's also major events happening in Los Angeles all the time, which is crazy. Man. What are some things that you guys did for, you know, like the NBA All-Star Weekend? That kind of during that time frame where you have a bunch of people coming into town in a lot of different environments and a lot of different aspects, from, you know, commercials to sport performance to fans. How did you guys kind of navigate that? And was there something special that you guys did?
Yeah, we just activated it in 3 ways. One was an open house. So as you mentioned, people are coming in town from all over the country and just needed either a place to, maybe they get in early and their hotel's not ready, or they don't want to do a co-working pass or day pass at another facility. This is closer to kind of where they're staying or where they're moving around. So we just did an open house and invited people to come check out the space, tour it, work out of here, take a meeting, go upstairs and shoot around. That was one. Two, on the educational programming side. So through Grind, we hosted a STEM workshop with one of the local girls teams that we have in the city that practices at our facility. So we went through that exercise of showing them the video of the founder being on Shark Tank, introducing the concept of how they came up with the product and what it is now, and then also took them upstairs to activate using the platform. So going upstairs, shooting around, putting together like shooting and skills competitions and kind of engaging that way. And then the last piece was doing podcast content. So having other executives that are across the industry, whether they're collegiate or professional side, showing off the space and doing different podcasts in different spaces. So whether it's the garden patio or one of the meeting rooms or the garage room that has access to the indoor and outdoor space, highlighting in the background the different spaces, but also having conversations around what the space could be, what it means for the city, and then also what it means for those individuals that represent different categories. So be able to kind of highlight and showcase from their lens why they think it's something important, but also showcase and highlight the physical space as well.
Wow. For people watching who want to be part of what you're building, whether it's the lab or Connect or a conference or just anything that you're involved in, where can they go and how can they connect with you?
Yeah. For the lab specifically, it's thelabinc.org is our website, social media, the.labinc. And then everything that we're building through Catalyst is going to be on our website, catalystsports.co. And then that's kind of where we house everything that's where we're operating in a number of different spaces, from the advisory to the nonprofit to the investment side.
That's awesome. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Nate Thompson, and we're going to talk about performance relationships and kind of going to take a little more deeper dive into how those relationships kind of expand during the course of time. We'll be back right after this commercial break on the Game Changer Unlocked. Welcome back to the Game Changer Unlocked. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and stay connected with us across all platforms on Now Media TV. More conversations with elite performers and leaders are coming your way. We're in our final segment with Nate Thompson. We're talking about performance, relationships, and what it takes to operate at a high level in today's world. Nate, in your world, how do you define high performance today?
Define high performance by kind of being locked in. I think the thing that comes to mind that I'll help kind of with my definition of high performance is alignment. So then it's finding the things that you're driven to or pushed towards or you find purpose in, and then being able to identify that for one, but then also execute on that vision. So then it's because you have alignment, because you have the vision, because you're drawn to it, you're going to execute and push for it and kind of at the highest level. So you're going to do all the things that you need to do to see that come to fruition. So high performance for me looks like doing all the things I need to do in the morning to kind of get in that space to be able to execute throughout the day and be able to be ready to do the deep work, to have the conversations, to build the relationships and communication. So that starts with, I'll kind of go through, if I can, the kind of morning routine. So that's getting up in the morning, taking the dog for a walk, kind of clearing my head, listening to some music, getting a workout in, getting some food in, and being able to optimize. I guess this is kind of where I'm going. So like I optimize and kind of maximize that morning to be in a space where I can have that high performance energy and activity the rest of the day, because I've done the things that kind of set the table to be available and be ready for that.
So we spent a lot of time or a little bit of time on relationships earlier in the show, and I kind of wanted to go back to that. How important are relationships in creating opportunities at the highest level?
Yeah, it's huge. I think it's the higher you go, and especially within the sports industry, they're big brands and big organizations in terms of awareness and scale, but they're small connectivity or connection points, I guess is a better word. So even like in my example of moving from Miami to Baltimore to Cleveland to Houston and now to LA, there's also people that move from job or team or league to organization, and then that circle gets smaller and smaller kind of as you make those rounds for one, but then also as you continue to elevate those leadership positions, you start to know who's actually the movers and shakers and creating, but then also, those circles get smaller in terms of like, there's connectivity between me and Brian and Joe and Sarah and Lisa, and like that connection happens very, very quickly. Very easily the longer you're in the industry, but also the higher you continue to elevate and progress through the industry. So relationships are crucial there, because you're going to meet and cross over and know somebody if you develop a bad relationship or in some organizations or some instances, it's somebody else is going to hear about it.
I'll tell you what, you just gave your trajectory from Miami out to LA, next is Hawaii or Japan, maybe. So, I mean, in a process of continuing to move west. On a more serious note, in your opinion, what separates people who stay on the top and those that fade out and you don't hear from anymore?
Yeah, curiosity. That's the one word I think I've lashed myself onto, of like always being curious of. One, whether it's being curious and knowing why people get into the space that they're in, or being curious enough to learn something new that's outside of your wheelhouse, and kind of what ways can this new experience or this new knowledge help me in my current space, but also take me to where I think I want to go. So even if I don't know specifically where I'm going on this roadmap, directionally, I know I need to grow and elevate and progress. And by being curious enough to expand and kind of be uncertain or be the newbie or be not a failure, but like be willing to fail, that's the thing that kind of keeps pushing me in that lane of like, yeah, that's the thing that differentiates that high performance leader from people that essentially stay stagnant or get complacent in being where they are.
You mentioned a little bit about yourself, eating, getting up, kicking a dog for walks, staying sharp. And that's how you do it. Do you see how, or something that you see a lot of high performers or people in the field, they kind of like let go to wayside that they need to stay focused on to get the best out of themselves?
Things that they let go to the wayside. I think there's, I'll probably tie it back to myself to probably get to an answer there. I think it's, I had to also make room for those things to happen. If there were too many obligations or tasks or things that I had taken on, didn't have the capacity or room for even that to be the case. So I think there's probably other creatives or leaders or people in the industry that also just have to let things go of like, whether it's an attachment to some identity or some obligations that aren't necessarily helping them grow where they need to grow, but just letting go of bad habits or relationships or things that they've taken on that kind of weigh them down unnecessarily, I'll say, that prevent them from having the room to be able to be free of thought and kind of have that space that they need to be able to say like, all right, yeah, if I have my head down working on this task all the time, I don't have room to create something new. So how do I create room for myself? And that can be the walk, it could be some leisure time, it could be going out for a run or getting on the bike and riding around. And that's their thing to help create some room to be able to give the space for these new ideas and seeds to grow in their head of where they want to go and what they want to do.
What role do you see mindset playing in building something really from nothing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, mindset is huge. In terms of when you say mindset, the first thing I think of is discipline. What are the things that you can adopt in that mindset that help you kind of figure out like what your thing is and kind of what you're building? Discipline is the thing in mindset that comes to mind of, it's probably a couple of things. Can you make the decision to be disciplined and focus on, I have this vision, I have this idea. There's going to be some external factors that come into play that are kind of going to pull your attention away from that. But can you be focused or disciplined enough to stay attached to that vision? That could be in the performance space. It could be like on the court. It could be, do I go to the gym? Do I get up in the morning or go in the evening and go shoot 100 free throws? Or do I go get up and run 2 miles? And then in the workspace, do I do that cold outreach to 50 people over the course of a week that could be helpful in some form or fashion and put myself out there to kind of see what opportunities may be available? I think that mindset or discipline is the thing that stands out when that question is asked.
Is there something you're seeing? This kind of shift off that, but it kind of your words kind of sparked me to think of something a little bit different. But you know, are you seeing something right now in sport and business that others might be missing? That's kind of a glaring.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I do. Anything specifically? I think it's just connectivity between industries and. Whether it's the software or hardware or just opportunities. I think at a point things have gotten like segmented or siloed where things were, this is a sports application and this is a healthcare application. This is mental preparation. This is spiritual. This is a military use application, but not necessarily seeing the crossover or opportunity to blend one with the other. And then being able to layer that for a solution or an opportunity that provides opportunity for a larger audience of people. So I'll try to get a little more specific on that one in terms of one of the things that I used to do when I was with Major League Baseball was like look at other industries. So I would look at hospitality. So what's happening at concert venues, at hotels, at restaurants, that they're providing a high level of service that people go back to on a regular basis that we may not be doing at the ballpark. So whether it's wayfinding in the ballpark, or if it's when you get to the park, we may not have a valet service, but you have your guest attendants that are taking tickets and walking people in, not ushering them in. So how do we provide that level of service that's equivalent to a valet or receptionist that's at the restaurant or hotel and bring that into the ballpark? Or if it's on the technology side, what are the things that they're doing, whether it's through engagements where, like now on smartphones, you can have like this passive listening that activates a push notification or something on your phone that's done at a concert, or where people wear like those wristbands that light up during like a Taylor Swift concert that flash like white, red, blink, pink, blue. Can we pull that into the ballpark and make that something cool when somebody hits a home run or hits like a game-winning shot or something like that, that's done in one space of entertainment that we could also apply in the sports entertainment space?
That's awesome. Wrap it up with one quick question. We're going to kind of go back to the beginning. Yeah. If you're advising a young professional that's trying to break into space, what would you tell them?
Yeah. My go-to is there is to reach out to people and have these informational interviews. It's not reaching out to, hey, I applied for this job, can you help me get an interview? It's more so reaching out to learn and share their personal experience, but also learn why that person is in the role they're in, how they got there. You can learn almost as much as you can in a full like 3 month, 6 month internship from that 30 minute, 45 minute informational interview than you can like being on site working and spending your time there, in terms of being able to narrow the lens from, this is something I'm thinking of getting into, whether it's marketing or creative or communications, that now that I've talked to this person, I have a better idea of, I don't want to do that, or I have a sharper focus on, that's something I want to get into. And then here's the pathways that I can go to navigate and get into that space.
Nate, thank you so much for jumping on today, giving us some powerful insight. I really think that people listened. Relationship is a key in getting to know people. So Nate, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. And thank you for our relationship.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that one. Hey, today's conversation with Nate Thompson reinforces something every high performer needs to hear. Success isn't just about what you know. It's about who you surround yourself with and the environments you choose to step into. From Major League Baseball to building the Connect Conference and now the lab, Nate isn't just chasing success. He's building ecosystems where it happens. Because at the highest level, access creates opportunity and the environment shapes your performance. If you want to elevate your game personally or professionally, don't wait for the right room. Go find it or build it yourself. Nate, again, appreciate you being on the show and sharing your vision. I'm Brian Fetzer. Stay focused, stay ready, and keep changing the game.